Chapter 11. The Proper Mood for Archan. Upon hearing Gop Kumar's question concerning Archan Puja, Narad was overwhelmed with supreme happiness and immediately embraced him. Why did he embrace him? Because in regard to this subject, there is some doubt in this. If someone asks us, okay, is this deity made from real marble or false marble? Is it made from pure metals or alloys? Will we be pleased and embrace that person? Rather, we will be thinking, seeing this person is sinful. But in Vaikuntha, it is not possible to have such doubts. In Vaikuntha, this outlook cannot come, so there is no personal necessity for Gop Kumar's asking. He is asking for the benefit of those of us on the path of sadhana. He has no doubt himself, but doubt remains in us. Therefore, for our welfare, he has asked. Narad saw that he cares so much for others that he is asking this question. Being very pleased, he embraced Gop Kumar and slowly answered him. Narad said, the deity is directly Bhagavan himself. The Ranganath deity, the deity at Pandapur in Maharashtra, the Venkateshwara deity, Jagannath in Puri, the deities of Mayapur and the Sri Vigrahas of Vrindavan, Govinda, Gopinath and Madana Mohan are all directly Bhagavan. Sometimes the deity says, on the side of my nose, there is a small hole. Place an ornament there. And after feeding me, take me out. I never go anywhere. And his devotee thinks, he cannot speak or move. Why is he speaking? And if he can speak, then certainly he can move also. So I need not worry. Such pastimes are performed by the deity. Sometimes he asks for an ornament, and sometimes during the night, he comes to a devotee in a dream and speaks to him. The devotees in Puri perform kirtan from the Gita Govinda, and when the deity wants to join them, he races off the altar, tearing his clothing and breaking his ornaments on the way. Are such activities ordinary? Therefore, one must abandon any mundane conception of the deity. He is directly Bhagavan himself. Besides this, what is the consideration that this is an old deity, or this is a new one, or this is one we made ourselves? Giriraj is brought from Govardhan, or our Shalagram Shila is brought from somewhere and we worship him in that form. Or in our home with metal or some other elements we have made a murti, and by worshipping that murti we feel great happiness in our hearts. If anyone abandons his Varnashram Dharma responsibilities to perform puja of Bhagavan with great faith, there is no fault in it. We must abandon the mundane conception of the deity, as he is the direct form of Bhagavan. No one made Bankim Bihari. He appeared by himself. Others were manifested by devotees. Madan Mohan was manifest by Sanatan Goswami. Govindaji and Damodar were manifest by Rupa Goswami. And Gopinath was manifest by Madhu Pandit. All of these deities appeared by themselves or were installed by great devotees. So concerning them, there is no doubt. But by sincerely serving other deities, which you have brought from somewhere, and have established yourself with mantra and abhishek, you will also attain the topmost bhakti. In this method, there is no fault whatsoever. Na pratiyadi dosha syad, guna eva mahanmata, sevotma mata bhakti, phalam ye paramam mahat. Brihat Bhagavatam 2.4.209. There is a great quality in puja. From this science, one will obtain a great result, the topmost bhakti. If anyone leaves his varnashram dharma responsibilities to engage in puja with the aim of attaining Bhagavad bhakti and has genuinely entered into bhajan, but in this birth he has not attained perfection because of some reason in the midst of performing bhajan his bhakti has stopped, for whatever reason, then what is the loss? And if that person remains within varnashram dharma for his entire life, but doesn't perform bhajan or serve Bhagavan, then what will he have gained? All of his life within varnashram, he served his parents, served his family, gurus, gave charity and dakshin, bathed in holy places and everything, but he didn't engage in bhajan. So then, what did he gain? Maharaj Harishchandra received the association of great personalities like Vishwamitra and became a great devotee. Therefore, he was benefited. Otherwise, there would have been no benefit resulting from all of his dharma. If someone in an immature stage left his vow of brahmachari and for some reason didn't reach perfection, then there is no loss for him. Why? Because in his next birth, he will begin again from the point of his attainment and then go on to success. It is just as when we study in a school, pass the courses, and then go to another school and study further. If anyone takes up bhajan, offering puja to Thakurji and chanting Harinam, then all connections with the world and varnashram are broken. This is called kriyapala, or absence of activity. Ordinarily, those who have left their worldly duties would have to appoint millions of maharishis to perform all of the ceremonies necessary for atonement in order to rectify their mistake. But those who have entered into bhajan will not have to undergo any atonement. Any man who leaves his worldly duties for selfish motives has five debts upon him: to the demigods, the sages, the forefathers, the family members, and to all other living entities. What is the duty of a son? How will he fulfill his debt to his forefathers? Just as his father raised him and made him qualified to live in the world, then he must also marry, have offspring, and make them qualified to live in the world. Then his debt to his forefathers is completed. But without marrying, it can't be done. So how will a girl fulfill her debt? By serving just as her mother did? Her mother brought her up and looked after her, and like that she will serve her husband, give birth to sons and daughters, raise them to maturity, and then she will be free from her debt. The debt to the demigods is like this also, as are all other debts. As long as one's wife has not said, go then and do bhajan, you cannot leave household life and take up bhajan. Yet, in a very discreet way, Mahaprabhu disregarded the injunctions of the scriptures and left home. He left behind his elderly mother, made no arrangements for her needs, and giving up all responsibilities, he left. He disregarded the injunctions of the scriptures. But for what? For the service of Govinda. So when someone leaves in this way, it is called kriyolopa. According to the injunctions, first one should be a brahmachari, then a grihastha, then a vanaprastha, and finally a sannyasi. But some go straight from brahmachari to sannyas without following grihastha dharma. so the debt of their forefathers is upon them. However, there will be no necessity of atonement for this if one has left to take up the bhajan of Mukunda. But it is said that those who have resorted to Kriyalopa for some purpose other than engaging in Bhagavad Bhajan must appoint 3 million brahmanas to perform ceremonies for their atonement. The kind of brahmanas with long beards and their hair tied high on their heads who live only on milk. Day and night they will be chanting Om Swaha, Om Swaha. Those who need atonement must appoint them, and if they don't follow this process of atonement, Bhagavan will punish them. But for devotees who have left their worldly responsibilities to take up bhajan, this atonement is not necessary. There are also 64 kinds of bhakti, and if someone becomes absorbed in one kind and is unable to do the rest, for this also there is no need of atonement. But be especially careful of one thing. While absorbed in the puja of Thakurji, or while being absorbed in taking Harinam, do not offend any Uttam Vaishnava. Always be careful of this. Other things Krishna will tolerate, but this he will not tolerate. Tarvak karmani kuruvita, na nirvidyeta yevata, mat kata shravananda yipva, shraddha yavan na jayate. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.29. One needs to follow the path of karmakanda only as long as he has no renunciation. At the time when renunciation comes and he understands that worldly attachments are a source of misery and that I am Atmatattva, he will no longer need to follow the path of karma. Then he can go along the path of jnana. Beyond this, if by shravan, kirtan, smarana, padasevana, or any other way bhakti comes, then also there is no need to follow the path of karma. For example, Rabindranath Tagore never studied in school, nor did he go to college. He was taught at home. First his parents taught him, and after this a tutor came and taught him. And the acquisition from his previous lives was such that automatically he became highly learned. For him, studying in schools was not necessary. Similarly, those who have given their hearts to hearing and chanting about Krishna have no need to follow the path of karma. They may perform some karmic activity, but it will only be for the benefit of others. It will not be for themselves. But wherever there is some faith in bhakti, no karma is necessary. For performing karmic activities properly, there are many books like Manusmrita, Artha Samhita, the writings of Yajnavalkya, etc. And in society, people have so many conventions for that purpose. These things are not for those who have entered into bhajan. If sadhaks do them, then it is all right, and if they don't do them, there is no harm. Some people read the Gita verse Sarva Dharmam Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja, and they take it to mean leaving aside all material attachments, follow the path of karma and come to my shelter. But what did our Goswami say? Leave both attachments and karma, just as all of our previous acharyas did, and as so many devotees have done. Being a surrendered soul to Bhagavan, Raghunath Das Goswami left his home. Did he engage in any karma? Not knowing bhakti ras, those of meager intelligence engage in karma. But for those who understand the true nature of bhakti, there is no arrangement for karma. They are above karma and atonement. Bhagavan himself sometimes performs certain karmakanda functions for the benefit of the world, and saints and devotees also do it, but only for the welfare of the world. Yad yad acharati shretas, tad tad eva taro jana, sa yat paramanam kuryute, lokas tad anuvartate. Bhagavad Gita 3:21. Common men imitate the actions of great men. Everyone follows the standards which great personalities establish. What is karma? When we do anything with a selfish aim and taste the fruit of our activities, it is karma, and we become implicated in its reaction. For instance, I am offering archan to my deity, and as a result, everyone will praise me, and I will make so much money. That puja will simply be karma. That which is done for Bhagavan is bhakti, and that which is done for liberation is jnana. Bhagavan will accept puja offered with the aim of pleasing him. If we are thinking, Bhagavan will be pleased by my service, and therefore he will give me a wife, give me a husband, give me a son, daughter, or money, then that is karma. But for those who are offering puja solely for the pleasure of Bhagavan, even though there may be some mistakes in it, it will be accepted as genuine bhakti. Next, Narad spoke this verse. Siddhi syad bhagavad dristya trina samananad api sakrit uccharanan nama basasya shravanat tata. Brihat Bhagavatamrita 2:4-210. If with Bhagavad Buddhi, or awareness of Bhagavan's presence, one offers pranam, even to a piece of straw, or offers something to that straw with great feeling and shows it respect, then this action will be the fulfiller of desires and the giver of perfection. And remembering the name of his son, Arjamil unknowingly achieved a spiritual destination. Yes, unknowingly. If we have given one of our family members the name of a Radhadasi or the name of a Krishnadas, such as Madan Mohan, will there be any result from that? Certainly there will be benefit, even if we only call their names in Abbas. In this way, Narad has said that with Bhagavat Buddhi, anyone can offer respect, even to a piece of straw. Why? Because in this world, there is nothing that isn't related to Bhagavan. Is there anything? No. All objects are the place of Bhagavan. If we see that Bhagavan is even within a donkey, then because of this vision, will we have to take birth as a donkey? No, it isn't like that. It is written somewhere that tilak was applied to a donkey and a tulsi mala was placed around his neck. The people were saying that if we didn't offer pranam to the donkey, then that person wouldn't obtain bhakti. So someone was devoutly offering pranam to the donkey. Yes, if one does this without the vision that Bhagavan is in all things, there is no harm. But thinking that the donkey is Bhagavan, that is polluted intelligence. Prahlad Maharaj offered pranam to everything. Birds, animals, insects, straw. Why? Because he understood that without the presence of Bhagavan, nothing can exist. Not because this is Bhagavan himself. If we were to see a peacock feather, which has fallen in the dust and has been trod on by others, what would we do? At once we would pick it up and clean it off, touch it to our head, and keep it in some pure place. Why would we keep it? Because this is Krishna. No. Because this thing is dear to Krishna, Krishna wears it. This is Bhagavad Buddhi. If with this outlook one offers respect to a piece of straw, that will be greatly helpful in attaining Bhagavad Bhakti. So what to speak of our progress if we offer respect directly to the deity of Bhagavan? Non-moving, living entities and all things are manifestations of Shakti of Bhagavan, and there is no harm in offering them pranam, just as Prahlad Maharaj did. Everything is part of Bhagavan. We should understand that. If we can attain perfection, even by seeing straw and other unimportant objects with the vision of Bhagavad Buddhi, then how much quicker will the result come if we are directly remembering the Sri Vigraha? If we worship a deity in the temple, or if we establish a deity in our home with a fire sacrifice, abhishek, and Vedic mantras, then how can there be any fault in this? There is certainly no fault in it. Therefore, the Murti Puja of Bhagavan has been written about in all scriptures, and now Narad will explain why those other things have been written regarding certain faults in puja. Kadapi Krishna Prati Mara Charan Vatam Na Sambhavet Krishna Pareshvu Anadaraha Gateta Chet Karya Api Tad Vishekitito Grinanti Nagas Tad Ami Stavanti Ata Brihat Bhagavatam Rita 2.4.212. If anyone is really a devotee, even a Kanishta Adhikari, who may not even know tattva, but is sincerely engaged in puja of the deity, then it will not be possible for him to disrespect any Vaishnava. A materialistic devotee is still a devotee, isn't he? But he will never be able to show any disrespect. Upon seeing a Vaishnava, he will offer pranam and say, "Please take darshan of our Thakurji. Please take his prasad," and he will do nothing more. If someone does disrespect a Vaishnava, then he has not even become a Kanishta devotee. Narad is saying that if a devotee is really doing archan, then he will not be able to disrespect any Vaishnava. Not even a new devotee or a Kanishta devotee can do it. One such opportunity came. A devotee was seated to begin his archan, and then an elder Vaishnava came. The pujari was not immediately able to show that Vaishnava respect. In such a situation, Vaishnavas are very merciful. They will say, "No, no, do your service, you should do your puja." The pujari didn't know that the Vaishnava had come because he was absorbed in his archan. Then that Vaishnava was even more merciful towards him and didn't consider that there was any fault. If that Vaishnava who came had considered this to be an aparad on the part of the pujari, then he would not have been a Vaishnava at all. But at the same time, there can be the possibility of aparad here. Once Baladev Prabhu arrived in an assembly and Roma Harsana knowingly did not get up and offer pranam. He was so absorbed in anything at that time, and he was thinking, "I am worshipable to everyone." So he didn't show respect, and Baladev Prabhu finished him. If a devotee is absorbed in puja or offering prayers and a Vaishnava comes, but the devotee does not see the Vaishnava due to being absorbed in his prayer, the Vaishnava will take their error as a great quality. They won't take it as an offense. But if one knows that a Vaishnava has come and intentionally neglects him, thinking that the Vaishnava is insignificant, that will be an offense. Then the deity will not accept that person's puja. Suppose we are spending 1 lakh of rupees for a festival for the deity, and we are busy making the arrangements for 1 whole month. We are making elaborate arrangements for the distribution of prasad to the thousands of people who come. We are putting up electric decorations and making elaborate arrangements for the puja. But if behind it is a desire for prestige, that puja will be useless and the deity will not accept it. If we are doing this so that our prestige in this world will increase and so that people will praise us, then Thakurji will not accept our puja. If someone offers just a little simple puja, which is genuinely for the pleasure of Krishna, then he accepts it. But when there is impure motives in the puja, he will not accept it. Therefore, at the time of offering puja, we must have the proper sentiment in our hearts, and also at the time of taking his name. Sometimes we may say to someone, "Hey you, come here." If we call Krishna in the same way, will he listen? If we call him and the correct feelings are not there, he will not listen. We may say to someone nicely and with some feeling, "Please come and take prasad." If we approach Bhagavan in that mood, he will come. Otherwise, if seeing that an offering is late, we rush through it by quickly chanting Om Krishnaya Namaha, will he come? Only when there is sincere desire from within will Bhagavan accept an offering. Otherwise, he will not be hungry and will not accept it. We should consider these things in whichever limb of bhakti we are engaged in. If we are preparing food, but we have no genuine desire to please him, we are not in the proper mood. Then Thakurji won't accept any of it because he has no need. He is hungry only for prema. Taking all of these things into consideration, we should engage in kirtan, shravana, smarana, vandana, and everything with prema. Then Bhagavan will certainly accept what has been offered. One may be singing kirtan in a sweet melody, and some great musicians are there. They know all the rhythms and classical melodies and are playing them very sweetly, and this attracts the minds of many people. But unless it is exclusively for the pleasure of Bhagavan, then the only result from this kirtan is that those who are listening are enjoying it. Those who are seated there and playing the kirtan will get no benefit if it is not really for his satisfaction. This then is not an easy thing. When all of one's activities are done solely for Bhagavan's satisfaction, it is called Shuddha Bhakti. These days, we can see how degraded things have become as we enter further into the age of Kali. Some people take the property of the deity to be their own, and in their puja they think, "I am important," and "I am the master." For this reason, there is then sometimes a court case, and such persons go on quarreling and fighting, sometimes even up to spilling blood and killing each other, rather than turning the service over to someone who may be more qualified. Inside them is aggression towards other living entities. They have more money, more influence, more disciples, and by any means their opulence has increased. But they continue to disrespect other devotees. Such people will certainly be deprived of what the scriptures declare to be the results of puja, love for Bhagavan, darshan of Bhagavan, and ultimately attaining Vaikuntha. Once, Narad said to Bhagavan, "Prabhu, I see that many people don't respect devotees. Why is it like this? They should respect devotees." Bhagavan replied, "What to speak of devotees? They don't even respect me." And desiring to prove the point, he said, "I will show you something. Tomorrow there will be a very big bandara, an arrangement for distributing free prasad to the sadhus. I will go to that bandara personally, and you will see how they respect me there." Bhagavan went to the bandara. It was a very big program, and those who were invited had been sent tickets. All of the important people with tickets had entered, and then one old man with a black complexion who was so thin that it appeared as if his back and stomach were touching, came begging. "Please let me enter. I haven't eaten for 4 days," he said. He tried to enter a little inside, but was stopped by the guard. "Do you have a ticket?" "No." In the end, the old man pushed the guard aside and entered. The guard became angry and notified the supervisor, but the man didn't care. Pushing his way in, he took a leaf for a plate and went and sat down at the back. Then the supervisor approached him and said, "Where is your ticket? You are not honoring this. Grab this man and throw him out." When the beggar didn't get up, four or five men forcefully ejected him and slammed the door behind him. Meanwhile, Narad was watching. "Prabhu, I see now, despite all your efforts, pushing your way in, taking a leaf, and sitting in the back, after quarreling with you, they rejected you. So we shouldn't show such disrespect to others. We should all be careful. If someone comes to our home or temple, we should certainly give him something. It might be Krishna. And he may even come in the form of a Mayavadi. We should give him something and show him some respect also. Otherwise, it will be aggression towards others. If a sadhu comes, then show him some respect. Knowing Bhagavan to be inside everyone, give him respect and speak to him with sweet words. Bhagavad Bhakti is established on a foundation of very beautiful philosophy, and if we don't honor these things, fault will come upon us. We should serve the deity with the correct vision and offer respect to all accordingly. When Gop Kumar went to Prayag, he saw different kinds of sacrifices going on there, and everyone, even the crows and monkeys and everyone, was given prasad. Narad uses the word avidusha. Vidusha means a scholar, and avidusha means one who knows nothing, a fool. From a foolish person, Bhagavan doesn't accept puja. But if someone has no knowledge but is faithful, from that person he will accept puja. Here, vidusha and avidusha do not refer to whether one has studied the Vedas or not. Though having studied the Vedas and other scriptures, one can still be a fool. If after having read the Gita, Bhagavatam, Ramayana and other Puranas, one still has no faith in the deity, he is simply a fool. One day, a devotee came to our mat, sat looking at the deities for half an hour. We were wondering if he was experiencing some great sentiment or what he was thinking. After gazing at the deities for so long, he called someone over and said, "From where has this murti come? There is a defect in it." This is avidusha. Even though this man had been a member of our order for at least 40 or 50 years. Those that are avidusha don't give proper respect to anyone, not to Vaishnavas and not to others. Bhagavan doesn't accept puja from such people, but he will accept puja from those who are ignorant but innocent, because they are not offensive. In archan, what comes first? Offering boga, after that the ghee lamp, then bath water in a conch shell, followed by cloths, followed by charanamrita, and after this the chamara. So if someone accidentally changes the sequence of these things and offers the chamara at the wrong time, will the deity reject his puja? This puja he will accept. But those who do their puja with 16 ingredients but no faith, just so that people will come and give money, where the pujari is thinking that he made 30 rupees this week and he will make another 60 rupees next week, are committing aparad. Bhagavan won't accept puja from these people. But from those who are ignorant yet innocent, he will accept puja, even from a sakam person with some selfish desires. If a sakam person is faithful, then after a long time, Bhagavan will still give them bhakti, because they have not committed any offense, spoken any blasphemy, or engaged in any violence towards any other living entities. In this way, Bhagavan is supremely merciful. But if someone is behaving unfavorably towards others, then in hundreds of thousands of births, he will not get bhakti. Therefore, according to one's own natural proclivity, one should do everything for the service of Bhagavan. Then he will be pleased. Gurudev will be pleased, all Vaishnavas will be pleased, and then everything will be correct. Remember that it is not for our own pleasure that we are doing everything, but for the pleasure of our Gurudev. Only then is it fully correct. This subject is very important, and especially for the sadhak, it is necessary to hear. We may be eager to hear talks about rasa and lila, but this subject we may not be so eager to hear about. These points are essential to know because they are the very root of sadhan bhajan. If disregarding them, we commit aparad, we will leave the path of bhakti and our lives will be useless. But instead, we can prepare our hearts for serving the deity, the Vaishnavas and Gurudev, in the correct way, and thereby achieve success in our sadhan. Thus ends chapter 11 of Going Beyond Vaikuntha.